Okay, hi. Thanks for joining me today. We are going to take on a short, but probably very pertinent Go show. Something that all of us struggle with, whether we're just starting out or we've been practicing Buddhism for years. The roller coaster of life, you know, things seem to be working and then they don't seem to be working, and then it's hard to continue trying to keep it working. And invariably, when we get back to it, things start to click and we work through what we thought were obstacles, and now it's easy again. Now it's actually more exciting because we worked through a problem. That's life, isn't it? Any of us who've attended school at any level should be familiar with having to work on whether it's homework or whatever kind of, quote, problem there is. Seems difficult. We have to reread things, retry things. We try things and they don't seem to work. You know, we've become, in the modern world, and this has always been a feature of our experience as human beings, we get lazy, we get fearful, we have a fear of failure, so we don't even try, or we get tired, we want to quit. But it's funny, we do that no matter what age we are, and no matter how many times this happens in our lives, we tend to forget that it's when we hunker down. And maybe you need to take a break and get back to it. But when the answer arrives, when you just keep trying and try to either do or redo, reattempt, it's kind of like Yoda says, you know, there is no try, there is only do and not do. There's a lot of truth to that. It's just that a lot of times when we try to do something and we don't seem to get the payoff we expect, we just too easily give up. And it just means that we need to just be patient with ourselves. The nature of commitment in relationships or math word problems is the same. We just need to stick to it without frustration. Yeah, it's okay to get frustrated. That's human suffering, right? We expect it. That's part of life. But don't let that struggle end your attempt. Simply absorb it and go, okay, the payoff from this is probably going to be more than I expect because of the nature of the difficulty of trying to get through it. This lesson happens constantly throughout Buddhism. Think about it. Buddhism is a method of attaining your highest, your maximal potential in every moment of life. There is no higher or no more, how do I want to say it, maybe challenging effort you could make in your life. So to think that it's all going to just be a shower of wonder can be easily food for giving up. As the minute you hit an obstacle, you think, well, where's all that wonder? Where's all that security? Where's all, come on. Nothing we accomplish in this samsaric life, by the nature of the life itself, is made easy for us. I'll tell you what's made easy. Sloth, laziness, and a slow degradation into the pits of the worst life experience you can have. That's easy. Just don't do anything. That's not very appealing to me. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to live in this life and I want to enjoy this life, I want to savor the marrow of life, as it were, then I have to know that that's going to take some effort. That is the nature of quote unquote success in anything in life. So certainly it's going to apply to Buddhism. So this short letter was Nichiren talking to Shijo Kingo, as we know, one of his most devout followers and supporters, a high-ranking samurai living in an authoritarian shogunate. And, as I said before, the Bushido Code is like wake up every morning knowing that day you're going to die, which is a sort of mental preparation for living the marrow of life in that situation is taking no breath for granted, but knowing that ultimately you're in the business of death. And so live your life with the most dignity and honor and respect for life, at the same time, contradictorily to that, you're taking life. So it's either them or you. So if you're prepared to die that day, then it doesn't come as much of a shock. And it does put a certain whip to your spine, as it were, about not being lazy in spirit or in physical training. But compare that to Myoho Rengekyo, and you have something that's at odds with the very way that you're taught to live your life. So other samurais around Shijo Kingo, whether they're of equal stature or not, they're kind of bothered by Shijo Kingo being such a strong supporter of Nichiren. They're like, "What are you doing, dude? I don't know if you belong with us. We're ready to die, and you're saying that life is more precious than anything, and that murder, taking other people's lives, is a grave offense, not legally, although it is, well, it's not for a samurai, right? But the offense is against our own nature, our own Buddhiness. Because remember, they thought samurai, Bushido code, thinks of enlightenment as something that's achieved in solace up in a cave, where you come to terms with kind, almost nihilistically, not doing anything with life, simply meditating yourself into a quiet space. That's Satori, right? But Myoho Rengekyo goes way beyond that because, as I'll mention again, Myoho Rengekyo or Buddhism or Shakyamuni's method, philosophy of enlightenment is this life. It's about living this life to its utmost because when we're done in this life, that's it. There is no afterlife, there is no other place. So, if you're going to come to enlightenment, you need to do it right now and live this life with that Buddha wisdom, that Buddha-ness, that enlightenment. So, the teaching of Nichiren was for the other samurai and certainly their lord, their boss, their employer, rather contradictory, kind of opposing them and their way of life. So there were a lot of influences, in other words, around Shijo Kingo that called him out in, I'm sure, various ways on why he should not be doing what he's doing and trying to be logical with him to dissuade him from continuing support of his practice of Myoho Rengekyo. Certainly, as a supporter of Nichiren, what the hell are you doing, right? So Nichiren, or so Shijo Kingo, evidently, as you'll hear in this brief letter, had sent Nichiren a note about a fellow, whether it was a samurai or not, but a friend who was explaining to him his doubts about his practice. And Nichiren, of course, sees right through this and says, "Well, let me know if that's true or not, but in the meantime, I'll take the opportunity to talk about doubt and steadfastness and your practice." Because he knows, Shizuke can go, he's a samurai, he's got an ego, he doesn't want to just go to Nichiren and say, "Look, I don't know if I should do this." he's far too proud to do that. So he says, "Well, you know how we do, asking for a friend." So I think it's funny that in the 13th century Japan, people were doing the same thing. So let's get into it. This letter is titled The Difficulty of Sustaining Resolute Mind and Conviction. This is in regard to the passage, quote, "This sutra is hard to uphold," end quote. You've heard it enough times by now, it comes from the sutra, the Lotus Sutra. According to Acharya Ben, you said to him, "I have been practicing." Oh, okay. Sorry, a little bit of a misread there. Acharya Ben evidently is the one who wrote Nichiren a letter and quotes Shijo Kingo as saying something. Whether it's Acharya Ben who's doing or Shijo Kingo, Nichiren dispenses with that and says, "I'll just take this opportunity to talk about it." So, same situation, just reversal of roles there. So, Acharya Ben says that Shijo Kingo said to him, quote, "I have been practicing the Lotus Sutra correctly since last year. When you told me that those who embrace this sutra will enjoy peace and security in their present existence and good circumstances in the future existences, anyway, that was his motivation for practicing. Instead, however, great hardships have showered down on me like rain. Is this true?" Or, now this is Nichiren talking. "Is this true, or did he give me a false report? In either case, I will take advantage of this opportunity to resolve any doubts you may have." So, whether this teacher, Acharya Ben, that Nichiren works through as a fellow monk, has reported the story accurately or not, he's going to take this opportunity to support Shijo Kingo's possible wavering, certainly recognizing that Shijo Kingo is facing tremendous pressures around him to not continue supporting Nichiren, let alone practice Myoho Rengekyo, right? So, Nichiren goes, "A passage from the Lotus Sutra reads that it is, quote, 'the most difficult to believe and the most difficult to understand,' end quote. Many hear about this and accept this sutra. But when great obstacles arise, just as they were told would happen, few remember it and bear it firmly in mind. To accept is easy. To continue is difficult. But Buddhahood lies in continuing resolute mind and conviction. Those who uphold this sutra should be prepared to meet difficulties. It is certain, however, that they will quote, quickly attain the unsurpassed Buddha way, end quote. To continue means to cherish Namo Myoho Rengekyo, the most important principle for all the Buddhas of the three existences. The sutra reads, quote, "We will protect and uphold what the Buddha has entrusted to us," right? This is from the Bodhisattvas of the Earth. So this is the vow that we've made. The great teacher Tendai stated, quote, "One accepts because of one's power of resolute mind and conviction, and continues because of one's power of constant thought," end quote. Another part of the sutra reads, quote, "This sutra is hard to uphold. If one can uphold it even for a short while, I will surely rejoice, and so will the other Buddhas," end quote. There's one more paragraph, but I just want to interject here again that this is the nature of anything great that we try to achieve in life. And the reason why in the sutra itself, it says that you will encounter hardships as you practice this method is because all of the obstacles, real obstacles, not the fallen tree in the road as we drive along in our cars, but mental obstacles. Remember, Buddhism is about our mind. And the obstacles that are hardest for us to overcome are our predilections, our prejudices, our inculcated cultural thinking, the attachments we have to certain modes of thought, certain ways of thinking, certain accepted memetics that we simply repeat and somehow identify ourselves as. See, it's all about these attachments again. They are the hardest obstacles to overcome because we create them and we cherish them. And so when we chant Namo Myoho Renge Kyo, when we want to awaken our Buddha nature, we must understand that all of those misleading thoughts, delusions, and attachments are going to have to be overcome. And the only way you can overcome those kinds of attachments is by first looking them square in the eye. But nobody put those obstacles in our way. We did. So, as Nichiren often talks in and around the subjects, he identifies that those obstacles are actually validation of our practice. So instead of seeing those obstacles as defeating us, remember, fear of failure, we should see those obstacles as knocking on the door of our Buddha nature. You know, we chant, we honor our mandala, our gohonzon, we chant to it. It's like driving down the road. We're good drivers. But the minute the road gets slippery, or we see something in the road, and the minute we see a challenge, an obstacle, we're far too quick to feel defeated. We'll get out of the car and walk. Or worse, we'll turn around. With Buddhism, we have a great teacher here that says, no, this is not the correct behavior. Because in matter of fact, it's not until we meet those obstacles that we truly are changing our karma, truly changing our lives, truly building a strong relationship with our Buddha-ness, our Buddhahood. I know it's hard to think of obstacles that way. When they're minor, it may be an interesting challenge and very rewarding. But when they mount, and sometimes challenges seem insurmountable, that's when we really, really need to appreciate that they're simply doors we must unlock and walk through to create that strong relationship with our Buddhahood. Follow? So, Nichiren goes on. A fire burns higher when logs are added, and a strong wind makes a kalakula grow larger. These are a certain type of tree. The pine tree lives for 10,000 years, and therefore its boughs become bent and twisted. The votary of the Lotus Sutra is like the fire and the kalakula, while his persecutions are like the logs and the wind. The votary of the Lotus Sutra is the thus come one whose lifespan is immeasurable. No wonder his practice is hindered. Just as the pine tree's branches are bent or broken, from now on, always remember the words, quote, "This sutra is hard to uphold," end quote, with deep respect, Nichiren. So, short, to the point, but I hope that my interpretations help you to understand the meaning of this letter and the meaning of this teaching throughout Buddhism. It is the nature of any great achievement that it will pull from us our deepest fears and obstacles, bad decisions, delusions, which in the ultimate analysis, and you know this, that whenever you've overcome an obstacle in life, how many times have you said to yourself, if not out loud, why didn't I do this before? Why did I see this as such a overwhelming problem? Hey, and that's not to discount the times I know in my own life when I've come up against great obstacles that just gripped me with fear simply because I did not want to go through them. You know, what if you made some error, either driving or got in an accident or had an altercation with someone, and the prospect of having to go to court? I mean, it doesn't matter that you know intellectually, I have to do this, I was involved, I have to speak for myself. But then you have this whole legal system and all of the other fears that you may have attached to that that arise in you. So I guess the reason I bring that up is something that's more subtle that wasn't discussed in this short letter is that oftentimes the obstacles that arise in our lives, though we are abstractly involved with them occurring, and we can intellectually figure that out, spiritually, mentally, karmically in our lives, we have very little visibility as to what is really going on at that level, that profundity of the inertia and momentum of our lives. So if I want to, the deepest support and I lost the word, encouragement that I can offer you, or and insight, is that more often than not, the karma that you'll be breaking through is something you'll have no idea about. There are these inertias in our life, moment to moment, that we are quite literally unaware of. But I want to give you security in the knowledge that having done this for 40 or more years, I myself have gone through these some major obstacles of fear and apprehension and taking them to Gohanzen, sometimes in tears, pleading with my Buddha nature to just get me through this. I don't care what it takes, other than Daimoku. Just, I want to be over, I want to get through this obstacle, whatever it is karmically that's brought this up, like the pimple it is in my life. Just get me through it. Give me the strength, right? Give me a sense of security. And then the day comes and I work through the obstacle, maybe a week, whatever the obstacle is, and I'm on the other side of it. And whatever was going to happen, happened. And then time goes by. Maybe it's a day, maybe it's a week, maybe it's a month. And then I'll be chanting. And suddenly this huge light bulb will appear in my mind. I've noticed that in the last month, sometimes it's months later, months, I mean 6 months later, I'll suddenly realize that an element of my life is either fundamentally changed or simply gone. Why is it when I say and behave the same way as I used to, people around me respond differently? Why is this new type of personality now coming to seeking me out in society, in the grocery store, in the, wherever I am? Certain types of people are starting to talk to me and ask me questions that I've never had to consider before. Why is this happening? How is this happening? It's wonderful. It's this or that. And then I'll think back. Oh, this started happening really right after I went through that major thing, that major emotional thing. And then my next thought is, oh, I can't believe I made it through that. And that I was so distraught and worried and fearful. Wow, I hope I never feel that again. But that's when I can mark this change in my life, in my environment. Huh. That must be the karma I changed. I never knew that somehow I was keeping myself from that. That was in my karma. And that event, even though I can't really relate it to this exactly, changed that karma in my life. How fascinating. Those are the kinds of proofs that you must remain aware of, because if you have those kinds of experiences, that kind of proof from your practice, first of all, it's something you can't really discuss with someone else, unless they too can understand overcoming things of that nature. But hopefully you can use it as a point of reference for yourself. But certainly my point is that these are the kind of proofs in your practice that make it quite contemporaneous, quite true. You don't need to have an abstract security and confidence in this practice the way you used to, because these are the kind of proofs that make it samsarically obvious to you, this really functions, this works. And so this is how you deepen your resolute mind, because with actual proof of that nature, the next time you come up against an obstacle, your own voice will also say, just do this, go at it, and use your practice. It will bring you great rewards, rewards you may not even understand. Right? So with that, thank you so much for listening. I can't wait to do another ones of these and talk to you. Your support is everything. Strengthen your practice. Stay healthy. Deeply grateful for your participation. Namo Myoho Renge Kyo. Bye for now.